Good morning and welcome in to the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000. And we're streaming on the ESPN Chicago app with David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you here on this Monday morning. Glad that you're with us with open phone lines for you at 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. You can watch us on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago, or on YouTube, youtube.com. Look for the ESPN Chicago channel and watch us there as well. The Cubs win 2 out of 3 against Los Angeles as the Cubs win in a big way. They are now 8-6 on the season, Cap. And again, it's still early, but again, you should be encouraged as a Cubs fan to see what's been going on with this ball club. Again, you didn't have high expectations going in, but when you go to Los Angeles and beat a team that's a perennial playoff team, it's got to feel good.
The starting pitching was outstanding all weekend long. The bullpen was really good, with the exception of Michael Fulmer. I keep calling him Philip Fulmer. That's the old coach at Tennessee. Michael Fulmer's hiccup in the ninth cost him a ball game. Cannot give that game away when you have locked it down 1-0 bottom nine. You can't screw that one up. And you got to add on when you get bases loaded, one out in the eighth. Find a way to get a freaking run in here. That said, to walk out of L.A. and feel like, boy, we outpitched the Dodgers. We outslugged the Dodgers. Friday night was a slugfest. 5 home runs. Yesterday, Julio Urias, who's a beast, especially at home. And you go back-to-back Wisdom and Bellinger. Oh, my God. Put those on a loop. Play them for me all night, Jay Moore. I mean, Wisdom gone. Bellinger way up and way out. He made a great catch over the wall to Rob Hayward the other day on Saturday. That's a really good weekend.
What stood out to me about that game yesterday in particular is the pitching. So what do you expect from Drew Smyly? I expect 5 innings.
Mm-hmm.
Give me just give me 5 solid, 5 plus solid. Give me 6. If you can get to 6, that's great. And then we'll turn over to the bullpen. We know that you're a grizzled veteran, been around for a while. And so what he gave you is he gave you 5 2/3, and you turn it over to the bullpen. And the guy that should be the rightful closer at this point in time, as I told you in March, Boxberger closes it down. Ross was not going back to that stove again. It's like, all right, we lost the game yesterday on Saturday. Let's go to Boxberger for him to try to shut it down. 3 strikeouts. That'll be the end.
And Fulmer pitched the 8th.
He did.
And did a good job. That's where he belongs.
I've been asking you every week who should be the closer for this team until you find a real one. And I said Boxberger. Well, they'll just do it by committee. You want to – I understand it's early. And this is the Sox problem now because Hendricks is still out. But you want to have bridge guys that you could depend on 7th, 8th, and 9th. And again, as the season progresses, I'm sure that Ross will get the guys that he likes in those high-leverage situations.
Could it be Cody Hoyer when he comes back?
Well, that was my suggestion as well when he comes back. Could be.
Could be. But again, he's recovering from Tommy John. He's expected back, I guess, in June. Probably you don't thrust him right into that role, so you're probably looking at August. Should be coinciding just about the time Danny's doing a site survey for where we're broadcasting in the playoffs from Wrigleyville. Yeah.
Old Crow Smokehouse. Yeah, that's where it's going to be.
Bring it on.
Yeah, there's no site survey. Just same place.
Excuse me. Hi. Yellow Old Crow Smokehouse. Yes, this is Danny Zetterman, director of content. ESPN 1000. Yeah, Danny, how are you? Love having you guys here at opening day. We're going to be there throughout the playoff run. Okay, Danny, whatever you need. We got you.
And the lady on the other end is going to say, so in 25 or 2026?
That would be this fall. Here we come!
Sorry, we've got bands coming in.
Did I tell you? We love L.A. Oh, when you go in there and beat Dodger ass and there's all this blue Cub gear all over the place. Sing it, Randy. Sing it loud, sing it proud. Yeah. Oh, we love it. Now, you're in Oakland. Dodge the possums. Wake up, get a cup of coffee, and find a way to win a baseball game tonight. I'm staying up for you. Let's go.
Cubs going to the playoffs, you say, right?
I believe they will be in the postseason.
So it's different than your March thought.
Yes.
I see. 312-332-ESPN, 332.
I've evolved.
Yeah, you've evolved.
Yes.
That never happens.
No.
312-332-3776. That must be pretty special, Shea, if he's evolved after 14 games.
I got to tell you, he's the greatest Cubs ambassador I've ever seen. He's got Ohtani on the team. Andy's got them in the playoffs, and it's not even May.
Mm. They better not overuse Ohtani today. He's pitching this morning in the 10-10 start for Patriots Day at Boston. Trout's not in the lineup today. You're aware of this? We need to put a little governor on. Who's the manager there now?
Phil Nevin.
Phil Nevin. He was kind of a jerk when he was a Cub to deal with. But whatever. Phil Nevin.
Yeah.
Don't be overusing our guy. Let him throw his five innings and then let him rest. Tell him to ice his arm up. He's got playoffs to pitch in. On a long run.
David, I think that we got him. I think we got Ohtani. It's already taken care of. So let's have the bunting and let's have all the celebration for Ohtani. I don't need a baseball man for my baseball man. I've got Jed.
The Padres say, hold my beer. We'll raise $200 million.
Excuse me?
Dodgers say, well, hold my beer.
But we had him.
Sorry, we're giving him a billion.
Sell a little more Ameritrade. Yeah. Let's go.
Okay. You're not getting him, man. You'll be coming in fourth place in that race. I'll tell you that right
now. TD Ameritrade. Yeah, this is Tom. I need you to sell another 10,000 shares. Let's go. I got this Ohtani kid coming.
This guy really thinks that the Cubs are going to be in the mix for Ohtani.
11 months ago, literally 11 months ago, maybe to the day, Cap was calling them a civic embarrassment.
They were.
Here we are now.
Not today.
They're going to the playoffs, and Ohtani is on the team.
Ohtani.
This is the all-time flip. Yeah. I've never seen a quicker flip than this in my life.
Not a flip. It's called spending $300 million in the offseason, having the president of the team, baseball operations side, with us opening day on set. And I teed it up for him. He could have very easily said, intelligent spending. No! We kept our powder dry. We need a top-of-the-rotation starter, and we need some thump in our lineup. Mm-hmm. Well, I got one guy.
Yeah.
He came over here from Japan to win. It ain't happening in Anaheim.
Mm-hmm.
And this city will embrace him like no other.
That's right.
And Seiya said, I invited him to play for us.
Also in fourth or fifth place when it comes to trying to pay him. 312-332-3776 is our telephone number.
I'll get him some pizza.
Okay, that's good. That's good. As we said before, this one is. It's the salary, True Value Hardware, gift certificates, Lou Malnati's. Just throw it all into the bag. Won't be enough to outspend the Padres or the Dodgers.
Henry K. Jewelers.
Of course. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. All the stuff you used to give your TV guests, yes. You just got to throw into a bag.
Yeah.
Of course, all that stuff's expired, but nonetheless.
Correct.
Like, you can't fool Ohtani. Can't fool him. Stop. They've never spent like that.
Shohei, show me the money. Let's go.
$800 million, huh? Got enough in the coffers there for $800
million? It's not going to cost $800 million.
How do you know? Probably minimum $600.
I'm going to say under. He gets under $600.
You think he gets under $600?
Yes.
Not from the Cubs.
Yes. I think it's going to be somewhere between $475 and $500.
That's enough to win the Central. Let's go to the phone lines and talk to you.
Let's go!
But the other thing, too, so there's one side of the coin when it comes to Chicago baseball. How about the other coin? How about my misery? My misery.
Not good.
Cap?
Not good.
Is that the end of the world? But it's just off to a bad start.
Haven't won a series yet. You split the first one, correct?
Mm-hmm.
With Houston.
Yeah.
Have lost every series since. Brett and I are watching that game, too, and it's 4-0, end of one inning. Two home runs, three hits, three-run bomb sheets, an oppo solo from Berger. I'm like, oh, Dylan, I'm glad I bet the White Sox.
How about the other eight innings?
Never scored again.
How about the other eight innings? That's great first inning. How about the other eight?
I think you got a total of four hits the last eight innings.
Four hits, no runs. But again, it's not even about that, Cap. It's about when you're losing players, this is what it looks like. More and more injuries to this ball club.
So, right now, today, T.A.'s on the injured list.
Yep.
Moncada now on the injured list.
Mm-hmm.
Garrett Crochet is not back from Tommy John yet.
Correct.
Liam Hendricks, thank God, rang the bell. His cancer treatments are over. He was declared cancer-free, thank God. He's not back yet.
Don't forget about that Alberto, the backup third baseman.
He's on the injured list?
Yeah, he's not available.
I didn't even see that one.
Joe Kelly's
on the injured list. He got hurt jogging in from the bullpen when the bench is emptied in Pittsburgh. So you're banged up. And defensively, this is now not an aberration. This is the second straight year the team is lousy defensively.
This is what you get, Cap. This is what you have. You're not healthy to start the season. You're underachieving. And then on top of that, the worst bullpen in baseball. The worst bullpen in baseball. Does that turn? Yes. As the season progresses, that should get better. But when you're missing key players, especially offensively, when you're brutal defensively, when you have a bad bullpen, this is what it looks like. Now, here come the Phillies. You think they're going to let up? They will not. They just won 2 out of 3 in their previous series against the
They did. They're 6-10, so they need to start getting things going. They got a lot of talent on their team. Now, Bryce Harper's not back yet.
But this is what it is, though, and this is why it's so disappointing. Just ask any average Sox fan what they think about the start, because it feels like last year. It has the vibe of the last couple of seasons. Injuries, ineptitude, and as I mentioned again, this is not to turn a blind eye to Grafal, but as I told you when the season started, Grafal is not even in my top 10 of concerns with the White Sox. It's not. They decided to go in the lane of getting an inexperienced coach to be now the manager of the team. So you're going to go through growing pains along with an underachieving team. That's a witch's brew. Tough.
It's well said.
Tough spot.
Pitching matchup tonight right here on the home of the White Sox, ESPN 1000. It will be Zach Wheeler, 0-1 with a 4.02 against Lance Lynn, 0-1 with a 7.31 here in the early portion. So two good veteran arms there. Should be an interesting game to listen to tonight here on ESPN 1000.
How about some production to match the bravado for once? Big Mouth, you want to just grab your crotch when you throw a strikeout? How about actually getting the job done?
Keeping the team in the ball. Lance?
Yeah. How about that? How about you keeping the ball close? And also maybe not walk a small island like we saw this past series. Walked a million guys in this past series.
I said to you at break, looking at the numbers, 5 walks yesterday for Dylan Cease. Okay, it happens. He got 5 strikeouts. He can have a hiccup. He's outstanding. 26 walks in 3 games this weekend?
Yep.
That's unbelievable.
Bears conversation with Courtney Cronin is right around the corner. That's next right here on Cap and Jay Hood.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago. Cap and Jay Hood are back on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
We got worse weekends coming your way at 9:35 right here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. We'll cross talk with Chris Black, who's in for Greeny, from 10 to noon here on ESPN 1000. Then Carmen Yurko from 12 to 2. Waddle and Sylvie 2 to 5:30 right into White Sox baseball as the White Sox take on the Phillies. A 5:30 pregame, a 6:10 first pitch right here on the home of the White Sox, ESPN 1000. 312-332-3776 is our telephone number. Now let's hear from Courtney Cronin on the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline.
Rattle, rattle, thunder, clatter, boom, boom, boom.
Courtney, good morning. How are you?
Hey, guys. How are you doing? I'm good.
We're doing well, thank you. We saw the breaking news you put out there regarding Dante Pettis, the wide receiver. He's re-signed a one-year deal. And you talked a little bit about the Bears in their wide receiver room. What do you think of what they have currently in the wide receiver room now that Pettis has signed this one-year deal?
I think they've got a true number one in DJ Moore. They've got Chase Claypool, who still, has a high ceiling, and the Bears hope that he can hit it this year. And Darnell Mooney coming off injury, you hope he's the same player he was last year, and maybe he can recapture some of that glory that made him a 1,000-yard receiver in 2021. But you have your three, the structure's there, and then you have a bunch of complementary pieces. And I know a lot of Bears fans, from what I'm seeing with the Dante Pettis news, are like, why did they re-sign this guy? He didn't have a whole ton of production. Your production from him, first off, comes on punt return. That's where his biggest contributions were. And from talking with people around the team, the Pettis re-signing, the Equanimeous St. Brown that came at the end of the 2022 season, they need these complementary pieces in place, guys who have bought into the culture, and guys who are going to do what they want, whether it's a blocking assignment that might not be the most glorious role for a receiver. They've got guys who have kind of bought into what they're building here offensively, and that's not always going to come with a role where you get the most shine, but people who can know their role and know how they fit into this offense. And to me, Pettis is one of those guys.
Double C, in hearing all the speculation about where Jalen Carter is going to go. He's in Detroit tonight. The deadline is Wednesday to have these top 30 visits. The Lions pick 6 and 18. Peter King wrote this morning, the best fit in the NFL for Jalen Carter is the Pittsburgh Steelers and Mike Tomlin. They would have to obviously move up because he's not going to be sitting there at 17. Do you think Ryan Poles is at all reticent about trading that far back? But if I said to you, I'll give you 17 for 9, and I'll give you next year's 1 and the 2 you gave me for Claypool, do you think Poles does it?
I was about to say, if he could get that 33rd pick back, the one that they ended up giving up for Chase Claypool, I think you'd have to consider it because this seems like there's a lot of good players that are going to be available in the top part of the second round. And again, they don't pick till 53. Going back to 17, though, like if you'd be passing up somebody that you would expect to start right away at offensive tackle or even – you know, a Jalen Carter, if he was available to the Bears at 9, that's a tough pill to swallow. I think when you take a look at who's going to be available in that spot where the Steelers are, if it's Broderick Jones, the offensive tackle from Georgia, I don't think that's a bad pick at all, and that would solve a need that you have on the offensive line. And then, I mean, you just take a look at some of the other offensive linemen that would not be available. At least we don't expect to be available at that spot, whether it's Skoronski, Paris Johnson. If you're okay waiting, and if Jones is there and you're eyeing him, I don't see why you'd say no if you can recoup more draft capital. I just think it's a really slippery slope and a tricky game to play in knowing who from like 10 to 17 might go off the board. I mean, if maybe that would even lead them to a wide receiver. I know that that's a need for them long term and in the short term. I don't think Jackson Smith and Jigba would be all the way there at 17, but Quentin Johnson could very well be the receiver from TCU. Jordan Addison, the receiver from USC, like maybe they get creative if they do end up trading back from 9 in the first round where they don't go after somebody for the trenches, which is what we expect them to do and is obviously a big need, but could give them a chance to strike at that position in the early second round.
Courtney, what do you remember about covering Dalvin Cook? It's a name that we brought up in our last hour of someone that could be available. What does that look like, Dalvin Cook, on this football team if that was to happen?
I mean, he's a bell cow. That's what he was in Minnesota. And when he can play, when he's not injured, like that's a really big thing. But I mean, he's one of the best running backs in the league. He's a downhill runner. He can catch passes out of the backfield better than any running back I've ever covered. And that's something that they just didn't have a whole ton of with David Montgomery last year. I mean, he did get better in that area. But Dalvin can be a complete back. It's just a matter of the wear and the tear. And I'm not trying to be funny here, but every time he got hurt, every time he fumbled was either an ACL or a shoulder injury or something else. And I know he had the off-season shoulder surgery to repair, I believe it was the AC joint. That was a big thing, a big point of contention between him and the club, from my understanding, because he kept putting that surgery off. And the thought is, though, like, God, I remember, like, the day before the season started in 2020 when we're looking at our watches as they're going through their final walkthrough saying, are they going to get this extension with him done or not? And they strike it at the 11th hour. But the way that the Vikings do this, like they get very creative with all these, they backload the contracts. So you knew by the time 2023 rolled around that the cap hit was going to be too high and they were probably going to have a way to get out of that contract and release him and not have that much of a financial penalty, which is why you're hearing the rumors about, hey, if they can't find a trade partner in the next couple weeks, they will release him. And to people I've talked to up there, that doesn't come as a surprise. That's more of an inevitability at this point than not. I just wonder, you know, with somebody who's 27 years old, more or less, 26, 27, with the wear and tear that he has on his body, with the ACL and the multiple other injuries he suffered, is that somebody that is the Bears are going to want to try to bring in the fold, knowing his injury history?
So, Courtney, Hoodie and I have been talking a lot about the top 10 of this draft. How far do you trade back? Do you do this? Do you do that? Peter King this morning said he will not be surprised if in the edge category, Tyree Wilson goes ahead of Will Anderson, and he will not be surprised if Houston, whether at 2 or through a trade down, if they're not taking a quarterback, take Tyree Wilson 2 over Will Anderson. Mm-hmm. And they believe, D'Amico Ryans looks at him and says, that's my Nick Bosa. If that happened, so quarterbacks get pushed farther down. Is that help Ryan Poles, or does that hurt his ability to trade that pick? Because if somebody at two isn't taking a quarterback, why should I give up a king's ransom to get one?
Yeah, there's a couple things there. First, I'll answer the part about the Houston not potentially not taking a quarterback at two. That's something that I started hearing right around the time that we got back from the combine. And it makes you question about some of the fodder that's out there about Nick Caserio and his future in Houston, how much longer he is going to be there, how much longer he wants to be there. Like, where there's smoke there, there's some real questions about how much longer he's going to want to be the general manager or stay the general manager of the Houston Texans. So keep an eye on that one. As far as them not drafting a quarterback there, I could understand it if it's Will Anderson. I don't understand it if it's Tyree Wilson, because yes, he's a top edge rusher, not an outside linebacker, like true edge rusher prospect in this draft, but he also underwent foot surgery on November 12th of last year when I think that was like he didn't play the final two games or something of the season. So that surprises me. Somebody with that high of a ceiling, of course, but the injury that he's just coming off of, is he going to be ready to play this year? I don't think we all have any sort of, you know, any timetable on that. So that would be a stretch, I think. But as far as what that would mean for Ryan Poles, I think it's better. We expect right now, or at least what most mock drafts will have, are that these quarterbacks are going to go in succession, you know, 1 through 4, 1 through 5, maybe even 1 through 7 if the Raiders can jump in and get a quarterback. And that's not good for business if you're Ryan Poles, because, you know, you're at 9 right now. You're not in the, you know, the zone where somebody would be taking a quarterback as it currently stands. Now, if the draft board falls to a different, you know, it looks different than at least what we're projecting it to be, that could be a good spot, because then Poles could potentially garner more draft capital for somebody who's trying to get a quarterback that might be there at 9, and then they could move back and get potentially, obviously, the first, and then maybe even a high second-round pick that could help them with their haul this year.
Courtney, today is National Blah 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 Day. What's the thing that you don't want to hear in sports anymore? Do you say blah, blah, blah?
Oh, man.
I've got one.
I do, too.
You know, when people talk about I'll keep this draft-related. We always hear these same sort of terms where guys have been through battle, he's been through war, and all these like militaristic comparisons that we use for sports, and we hear them all the time, and it drives me absolutely up the wall, because there's a big difference between people fighting in legitimate battles to, you know, save human lives and, you know, rushing the passer on third down. That to me has always driven me nuts, and I don't think I'm the only one with that. I mean, I'm sure there's others. I wish I would have had time to think about this one, but I want to hear yours, Eddie.
Oh, well, definitely it's Lamar Jackson saga. Oh. I don't want to hear any more about it. I want to know if he's going to be a Raven or not. It's so tiresome. I thought I'd be worn out by the Rodgers stuff. I think eventually, as you've been saying, it will happen, but with the Lamar, it's a layer to it every week. Is he a Raven or not? That's what I want. So it's blah, blah, blah until we get the end of this.
Yeah, I don't want to hear anymore. This guy's in the best shape of his life. He gained or lost 40 pounds in 4 months. He's in the best shape of his life. Then why were you not in shape last year?
Exactly. Do you think anybody's going to come in and say, yeah, man, I've been hanging out this offseason. I gained 30 pounds of pure fat. Let's go. Like, I'm with you on that. No one's ever going to say the quiet part out loud that they haven't been working hard and they've been in Cabo enjoying themselves.
My friend, as always, we appreciate it. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
See ya.
Courtney Cronin on the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline.
Rattle, rattle, thunder, clatter, boom, boom, boom.
Don't worry, call the CarX man.
Cap, you know what's next, right?
Worst weekends, baby!
You can get a chance to vote at ESPN 1000. Who had the worst weekend? We'll tell you that next on Cap and Jay Hood.
Here's today's headlines with Cap'n Jay Hood.
Good morning, Chicago. The Chicago Cubs won 3-2 as they won 2 out of 3 against the Dodgers. They'll take on the Oakland Athletics tonight at 8:40. The White Sox dropped their fourth straight series yesterday. They lost to the Orioles by a score of 8-4. Sox and Phillies tonight. It's a 6:10 first pitch right here on the home of the White Sox, ESPN 1000. The Bucks dropped game one of their series against the Heat. Giannis exited the game with a back injury. Mike Budenholzer, their head coach, said x-rays were clear, but the team will continue to monitor Giannis, and his Game 2 status is unknown. The Memphis Grizzlies, they also had bad injury luck. Ja Morant had a scary fall on his right wrist. The Lakers won that game 128-112 over Memphis. Jay Moore.
Cap and Jay Hood are back.
Just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in.
On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Swept by the Pirates.
We can only ask or wonder that he is asking some departed relative for forgiveness for this atrocious performance.
Falling in an outhouse? Or maybe a dose of instant karma?
The evidence would lead me to believe that he did not break the plane before getting rid of the ball. And who knows what's going on inside that helmet?
It's time to find out who had the worst weekend on Cap'n J-Hood.
Time for worst weekends here on the Cap and Jay Hood show. I would say that Kevin Warren's probably a little bit more important than us coming in the building.
Hey, Shay. They got a video out. The Bears have just tweeted of Kevin Warren. It's still dark out walking into work. First day at work. Kevin Warren was rolling over when we were getting up to go to work. How come you're not out there, Travis Wacker from upstairs, filming us?
I get here hours before you. I mean, you should be out there filming me one of these mornings. Let's talk.
That's not happening.
You want to pull? You want to be outside this garage at 4:30 in the morning filming me walking in? Let's do that.
I would have told him, you know, he walks in from the parking lot, goes through the door. It's good to know that Warren's pass works. That's number one. Mm-hmm. So he gets into the building. I would have said, you want to keep following me? Right to the John. Here we go. You want to keep following him? Here we go. Ah, good morning. Ah, good Bears flush. Want to keep filming?
Do you notice behind him? There's a Bears helmet. Beautiful. Nothing next to it on either side. You know why? Because we're putting Lombardi trophies there, kid.
5:47 a.m. He's walking in.
5:47? I was downtown already.
All right. All right, time for worst weekends. Here's Shay Norling. Shay?
Let's get started with Netflix. Ruffled some feathers yesterday. They had their Love is Blind live reunion show. I believe it was season 3. I may be wrong. I don't watch the show.
That's right.
So they bring their cast back like most reality shows do, and they have a live reunion episode. The problem, Netflix can't figure out how to go live with their broadcast. So it doesn't happen. Fans are sitting around for hours and hours and hours. Finally, 9 p.m., Netflix tweets out, hey, yeah, we couldn't figure this out. We're filming it now. We'll release it on demand as soon as we can.
You know, it worked so well for Chris Rock. The pre and the post, they were live too with that Chris Rock special. They could not get that to work yesterday. Now, I'm out on Love is Blind. I saw the first two episodes with Peacock. The concept is you are looking for a wife. Wife's looking for a husband. And there's a wall between you. You never see each other. You speak through the wall. And so you determine whether or not you like someone based on the conversation. You know, Cap, the art of conversation. And so they have their reunion show. And again, like I said, I'm out on it. It's too much sports. I only have so much television bandwidth.
Mm-hmm.
Only have so much, right?
Peacock watching that show?
Not this season. But we watched the first two because sometimes, Cap, you just have like, okay, I'm watching a lot of sports. What do you want to watch? All right, let's just meet in the middle. So I watched the first two out for the third. But the idea that Netflix, you know, multi-million, billion-dollar company can't figure out how to go live is embarrassing. To the point where Redbox and Blockbuster Video got on social media making fun of Netflix. You saw that tweet.
I did.
Blockbuster Video.
Didn't even know they were still around.
I mean, the idea that they have a social media person is like, yeah, you guys are a bunch of jackaloons. You're out of business.
Yeah, what are you doing?
There's like one left, and I believe like it's in Bend, Oregon someplace.
I believe it closed. I'm pretty sure it closed, yeah.
That was done too. Okay, so now there's no more Blockbuster Video. There was one left that was still, you can go in there, Top Gun. That's like going in there, you know? Like, you know, get your favorite movies, go take it to the counter. Could you imagine that today? Cap.
That's what we used to do every Friday. I'm going to go rent 4 movies for the weekend.
There you go, pal. Like the library.
Yes.
There you go, pal. There you go. Top Gun.
When we were kids, we would go to the library. You get a stack of books. You needed a weightlifter to get them to the car.
The notion that Blockbuster Video's got something to say. You never made billions of dollars, Blockbuster. Get out of there, pal. Redbox got something to say? Don't make fun of Netflix. They're the leader. But they can't get on live.
But wasn't Netflix at the start, you had to take the sleeve and put the DVD back in and mail it back?
Correct. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
So that is the worst weekend for them. This big anticipated live show. What's going to happen? Ooh, it's live TV, live.
Can't get it on. God, can't figure out how to go live.
Had to film it and upload it.
By the way, how much does TV does your wife watches a little bit with you?
A little bit, yes.
Shay, your wife watches a lot more, right?
Yeah.
Jay Moore?
Yeah, it's about 50-50.
Okay. In the middle, yeah.
My wife crowing around the house last week. When you leave, and I was gone all weekend with Brett, I don't even turn the TV on. I get into bed last night, and the remote sits right next to on my side.
Yeah.
No remote.
Where is it?
On her side. I wait for her to come upstairs.
Hon?
Hey, hon. That's exactly what I said. Hey, hon. Why is the TV remote on your side? And she got that, like, cat ate the canary look. She was watching My Fair Lady.
Oh, for God's sakes.
My Fair Lady.
Now, hang on a second. They're Amish. You don't watch any TV? All of a sudden, wait, looks like the TV was on.
I had got the remote. I said, on your side. Let's see what channel you were watching. I was praying it was porn.
It was on Betamax, wasn't it?
I was praying it was like the Playboy channel. And I went, let's see. 501. These are all old movies.
Oh, TCM.
TCM.
Yeah.
She's watching. She said I was watching My Fair Lady. My Fair Lady.
Black and white.
You think I got bad taste?
Wow.
Wow.
She likes an old musical.
Right. Said she wanted to fall asleep to it.
Uh-huh. But doesn't turn the TV on when you're not around.
Correct. Ooh. I never turn the TV on. You're the one that runs to the remote.
Hey, hon.
Hey, hon.
The TV seems warm. Was it on?
Busted, Mindy. Give me the remote. I got it.
All right, Shay, what else happened?
Quickly, we have three more of these, Kaplan. Tigers-Giants was scheduled first pitch 1:10 Eastern yesterday. Did not go off as planned because of inclement weather. The next update was around 2:15. We're going to reevaluate the start. They then said it won't start before 3:15. If you'd like to leave and come back, you can do that. That was the final update. 5 hours and 37 minutes later, despite no rain, they called the game and postponed it.
It never rained.
Did not rain.
Mostly rainless delay, more than 5 hours. We're better than that when it comes to trying to figure out the weather. This is not the 80s.
Can we just send them Tracy Butler's cell? She can make it real easy. Why do you think UIC is so good at managing the weather?
That is true.
Because Hoodie hooked up Coach McDermott with Tracy Butler.
That ends up having a doubleheader on Saturday because we knew the weather would be bad on Sunday. So we got bludgeoned by Missouri State on Saturday for a doubleheader because Sunday, you could have played in it, but why? That was the question, right? Correct. Hey, I mean, was it playable? Yeah, it wasn't just a crazy storm, but just like the sleet and the rain. No, we're not playing on Sunday, so we didn't.
We're good.
But you're better than that in 2023.
Yes.
Because San Francisco's got someplace to go. Got no time for this nonsense.
6 hours. It didn't even rain.
Old school, that's how we grew up, Cap. That kind of thing.
Correct.
The weather people did not know. But, I mean, San Francisco had a flight to catch to go to Miami. They ain't got no time for that.
It's just different.
All right, we got two more that we got to get to for worst weekends and the Cap and J-Hood cut of the day on Cap and J-Hood.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000. Cap and J-Hood are back on ESPN Chicago, Chicago's Home for Sports.
We're in the middle of worst weekends here on the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show. Here's Shay Norling. Shay?
Yeah, this story, a lot of people had a pretty good weekend, and one family had a really bad one. An Oregon man wanted to bless folks in his neighborhood, so he threw $100 bills out the window of his car while he was driving down the freeway. People were able to pick up $100 bills. All in all, he threw $200,000 out the windows of his car. His wife now said he drained all their bank accounts and left the family broke.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Wow.
I know a story about that. Someone that you and I both know did the same thing. But we will talk about that later. That is unbelievable. That guy should be...
Let the class in.
I will tell you about that later. But that is that guy should be under the jail, by the way. There should be a law against that.
Correct.
You disrupt, you ruin your family and their
future.
Their future because you just went off the deep end. You're a jackass. I'm not sure what it is.
Wow.
Okay. All right. Next one.
This one happened in Detroit, so I had to bring it up.
Uh-oh.
Don't order a pizza in Detroit and have it sent to the wrong house. That's what happened over the weekend. Pizza was delivered to the wrong home. The people who received the pizza ate the pizza. And then the neighbors who were supposed to get the pizza came over, said, hey, did you get it? They told them they ate it. The result, 5 people injured in a shootout.
Damn.
In a shootout over a pizza?
Over a pizza that was delivered to the wrong home.
Detroit? Yep. I believe it.
Hey, man, did you eat my deep dish?
Wow.
Anybody with the last name Hood involved there?
I don't believe so. Okay. I have to double check. I want to make sure. Everybody that was involved is said to be in stable condition. That's good. But shootout over a pizza. I saw somebody in the comments of this story say the shootout is what makes it Detroit style.
Wow.
Somebody ate my Jets, baby. Who ate my pizza? You know how to be Detroit style. I mean, because it's delicious. There is no bad pizza.
Agreed.
But, I mean, the idea that someone be like, hey, you took my pizza, yeah, you're going to die for it. I mean, that's typical of this country. Not surprising, right?
I've had Jets. Jets is good.
All right.
Yes.
My favorite pizza. I know. But it is.
No, I understand. Listen, I've had, between me and between living here and being to Detroit or to Battle Creek, I've had plenty.
Right.
That's where my family is, so that's not a problem. Yeah.
You know what I saw? Brett and I were driving. I can't remember where.
Crazy.
Rocky
that?
Rococo is still around. I'm like, what?
What team does he play for?
Commanders.
Oh. Now time for the... So, yeah, put that at ESPN1000 on Twitter, by the way. That way you can vote. This is a tough one here. I might go with the pizza. Not to be... not saying that... the other ones weren't good, but I really believe the last one might be the winner.
I think the Love is Blind thing. I've never seen the show, probably never will. But for people that it meant something to, you get all excited. Hey, we're going to watch this Love is Blind reunion thing. Man. Let's get a pizza for dinner.
If someone delivered 5 pizzas to you guys' door, would you accept it if you didn't order it?
I would say I would not accept it, no.
Well, I would say, like, I would say that's not our delivery.
Yeah.
If he said, well, that's the only address I have. Take them. Okay, thanks.
The only reason why, Jay Moore, is because you don't know if that's an old scam, a way for me to open my door. You know what I'm saying? So the storm door is already closed. It's already locked. It's not my pizza, dog. It's not my pizza. Thank you. And then close the door quickly.
Right.
That's how that works. I'm not one of these guys. Ah, boy, that's got to be free pizza. Bam!
Right.
Not in this world. Absolutely not.
Detroit
style. Oh, man. Now it's time for the Cap and J-Hood Cut of the Day.
It's brought to you by Chicago Cut Steakhouse. I had a good friend, went to dinner there this weekend. He said, thank you for the suggestion. He went lobster salad with the champagne vinaigrette, and then he went with the Cajun ribeye and the mint Oreo ice cream pie. There's your blueprint for an awesome meal.
Yo.
Yes, it's boring, but it's a sport.
Oh!
Whatever.
It's not boring.
Okay, then you're boring.
All right, cut!
You talk about who has the leverage. The Packers are dancing if that happens.
So that would be Schefter with like one suit jacket arm in and the other one off. His tie is askew, hair all over the place. According to my sources, I can't believe this. Baltimore's in they're in the mix. I can't believe this. Adam, are you sure? I have it right in front of me, according to my sources.
Wow.
Could you imagine?
Oh, my God.
Out of nowhere, here comes Baltimore.
Adam's fast asleep.
Hello.
Adam! They just traded Rodgers to the Ravens. What?
According to my sources.
We're coming to you in 40 seconds.
Bookshelf, is it ready? Okay, here we go. Shot ready. All right, camera.
Let's go.
Oh, sleep in my eyes. I can't believe this. His phone's blowing up.
Wow.
That would be great for Baltimore. Just like, you know what? Screw this. We're going for it. Here's Aaron Rodgers. Aaron?
And that's all, folks.
And that is the Cap and J-Hood Cut of the Day.
Brought to you by our great friends David Flom and Matt Moore at Chicago Cut Steakhouse.
All right, so do you have your bets ready for the morning? The first live sporting event of the major sports is the Red Sox.
Yep, I am playing the Red Sox at home today over Shohei Ohtani and the Angels. A small play, just a little something to wet my beak for the rest of the day and evening's action.
Nothing wrong with that. And for those that don't know, because the Boston Marathon takes place, they always have a very, very early game. That's a 10-10 start.
Correct, because it leads into Patriots Day festivities throughout the city.
Mm-hmm.
They say it's the biggest sports day of the year in Boston. I was just reading that on the Globe.
That's crazy. So that's a lot of fun. So there's that. Anything else that you're going to put on? Anything NBA? Have you done some research on that?
I think I'm taking Sacramento tonight, and I think there'll be a lot of points scored in that game. But we'll keep working.
How about Golden State coming back to tie it?
I'm going to watch the game.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, what about Golden State to tie the series at one?
No, I think Sacramento in the over is the play.
Sacramento has been tremendous. It's a great story. Mike Brown deserves to be Coach of the Year.
Yep.
Really awesome. Good team, but Golden State struggled on the road a lot.
They have.
A lot this
season.
They have. So I don't know. I kind of may side with the veteran Golden State team for this one. And, of course, I'm thinking a gentleman sweep for Philly and Brooklyn. So long, everybody, after five.
I think it goes four.
That is just not a gentleman, just a sweep.
Just get out of here.
No gentleman?
No gentleman.
Yeah, I mean,
one, two, three, Cancun for the Brooklyn Nets.
I'll tell you, Jacques Vaughn would be in my top three as well as far as Coach of the Year. So no KD, no Kyrie, and yet you find your way in the playoffs?
Right.
And the Bulls
not
don't?
Not even the play-in.
And the Bulls don't?
Correct.
That's something, right?
But our tourists just figured out we need shooting and a point guard.
We crosstalk with Chris Bleck coming up next, and we thank you for listening and calling and twitching and being part of the program here on ESPN 1000. Thank you, Jay Moore. Thank you, Shay. For Cap, I'm Jay Hood. Let's do this tomorrow at 7.
Rock and roll, man. Have a great day, everybody. Appreciate you.
So long, everybody.
See you tomorrow. Take that.
From Chicago.